Get ready.
Hello, welcome to the Weekly Cooldown. I am Common Jace, your host.
And I'm Paul Henderson, your semi-regular guestish co-host.
And if you're joining us for the first time, this is the show where we get to know the gaming news of the week and we get to know our guest. It is episode 186 of the Weekly Cooldown and it is April 14th. It has been like a week since we went last time.
Something like that. We finally hit the time of year where when we're recording podcasts, the sun hasn't gone down yet and I've got all this natural lighting in my room now. Like, this is, it's almost exactly right now, because, like, this time last month, darkness. But right now, it's nice and bright in my room. Nice it's actually great.
We also hit the part where I get allergies real bad.
Oh, yes.
Which makes me not want to do anything. So, you know, we'll be doing this kind of sporadically. Next week, we will not be having a show, but that is because I will be starting a new job, and I will be tired. I just know I will be. So.
Oh, true.
I'm going to be adjusting to that, and then we'll be back on the 27th. But this week, we're here. We've got a really cool guest. We're going to talk a lot about them in a sec. Mm-hmm. And then we're gonna do some gaming news. But first, let's get into these headlines. I'll start us off with Rainbow Six Siege. A now former Rainbow Six Siege streamer who goes by the name of Thackle has been let go by Ubisoft after apparently making a series of racist quote-unquote jokes on TikTok. The comments he made about one of the game's characters known as Castle reference the fact that he's black. Again, the comments were made on TikTok. Ubisoft said in a statement that they do not tolerate any form of racism, bullying, or harassment, and that Thackle's post on TikTok breached their code of conduct. Thackle made an apology twit longer on Twitter, stating that he was only attempting to be quote-unquote edgy, and that his, quote, attempt on humor may come across as insensitive or offensive. Go figure. Thackle also said that he does not stand for racism or discrimination of any kind. In addition to being let go as a content creator on Ubisoft's behalf, Thackle's special charm added to Rainbow Six Siege has also been removed from the game.
Capcom is hosting a showcase for the latest edition of the Street Fighter series, Street Fighter 6. According to Capcom, they'll be announcing some big news during the broadcast. The show will be hosted by rapper Lil Wayne, and in addition to talking about features coming to Street Fighter 6, such as the Battle Hub, World Tour, and the Fighting Ground, Capcom is saving their big news for the end of the show, with some guessing that host Lil Wayne will be added to the roster. Really?
Yeah,
I think Mori's probably going to be a commentator. But anyway, the Street Fighter 6 showcase is happening on Capcom's YouTube channel on April 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Very excited. News from Arkane Studios, the developers behind Redfall, have announced recently that Redfall is launching on Xbox consoles with a quality mode only, meaning that the game will be limited to 30 FPS frames per second. Plans for a 60 FPS mode, performance mode, is set to be added in an update later. Fans are pretty upset at this and are begging the question as to why the studio would simply not wait until their 60 FPS mode is ready to roll out. Many fans point out that their first-person shooters, especially, are much better with a higher frame rate. Despite Arkane releasing news about the Xbox frame rate, there is no news yet about PC system requirements or if similar limits will be placed on the PC version.
A streamer by the name of Your Mother is a Fish, no spaces, has been banned from Twitch due to their username. Your Mother is a Fish has been streaming on Twitch since 2018. Many of Your Mother is a Fish's fans said that there is no way the ban can be upheld since the streamer has had their clips used in Twitch's promotional media. Many speculated that Twitch's machine learning or AI must have picked out the name by accident and applied the ban. Thankfully, as of April 12th, Your Mother is a Fish seems to have received a response from Twitch support stating that the ban has been lifted.
I put that one in there just so I can hear you say your mother's a fish like five times. It was good. It was wonderful.
Did I say it how you expected me
everything
to?
Everything I want needed it to be on this day.
No spaces.
And those are the headlines for this week. Of course, if you think we missed some or if you got something else you want us to talk about, you can always go on Twitter at ComedyJaceGaming or at WKCooldown. And there I am to talk about it right there on Elon Musk's whatever it is now.
Until they go bankrupt by getting
sued
shut down by Germany.
Yeah.
For like $30 billion or whatever the hell.
It's great. More than Twitter's worth. Excellent.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So ready to not have Twitter anymore.
I made a shit post that Twitter's homepage this time next year would just be the current FTX homepage, which is just saying that FTX does not exist anymore. And there's a link to their bankruptcy page explaining what's going on.
Wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't
just
it, though?
Logging on to Twitter.com and getting a "we're sorry, Elon Musk" sad face on it.
Right.
Because he's got no more monies left. Oh, man, what a future to think about. Fable, what do you think about Twitter?
Oh, God, it's a mess.
Yeah, that's about where we all are, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of just waiting for some of the dust to settle so that I know where I'm supposed to post things.
Yeah. It really does feel like we're waiting for the vacuum to appear so that we can all then see like who's filling this said vacuum, who's doing it, when are we doing it, and how. Mm-hmm. Is it Mastodon? Do you think we're all going to go on Mastodon?
I'm on Mastodon. I don't know if it'll necessarily stick or not. It still doesn't really feel like there is a one place that is fully taken over. Some people are kind of moving to co-host, and it certainly has a niche. I kind of feel it almost feels like at this point the future is kind of decentralized social media. Not in the way that Mastodon uses it, but in that instead of there being like one platform that everybody goes to, people are going to kind of splinter off and find their own communities. It kind of feels like that's where things are headed. Like, there was Twitter and Facebook for a long time. Those were like the two big head honchos. Yeah. And Tumblr kind of played a part in it as well. And there were aspects of this that already kind of existed in the way social media has been for the last decade. And I'm realizing we're not exactly on topic for the podcast, but it's fine. Continue. Whatever. Fuck it. But like the way that social media existed is like there were certain websites that filled certain niches for certain people and people interacted with their communities there. And it feels like if Twitter breaks up, even though it's sort of the social media franca for a lot of people, at least in the United States, the end result is going to be several different splinter social medias that people sidle into as their communities head in those directions. Because like there's social media for like right-wing people now. There's kind of, I mean, Mastodon is kind of social media for like liberal / and or libertarians. I don't necessarily want to conflate the two. Yeah, I know. But they have the way Mastodon works, it also kind of splinters within itself. Instances can also like span each other.
I look away from Mastodon.
So it's interesting because like it means as a result of the way Mastodon works, the Mastodon is actually just software. It's not actually a website, right? And there is a platform that all these different instances of Mastodon can interact with each other. And anybody can spin up a Mastodon instance for whatever. But it also means that these instances can ban each other. So since it's open source, there's nothing stopping somebody from making... Do you see? So like, there's nothing inherently stopping somebody from making a Nazi Mastodon.
Is this the worst instance. Place?
No, because it also means that nobody has to fucking interact with those people, because Mastodon is not a single website. Mastodon is actually like 1,000 websites, right?
Okay.
And the way that the software interacts is all these different websites can choose to interact with each other or not. Like the instance that I'm on, we have quite a few instances that are banned, and there is actually on the main what is called Fediverse, which is just like you can kind of think of it like an old school web ring in a way. Does that make sense? Does anybody remember web rings?
Sure.
So web rings. I'm gonna do a throwback here because I think it's essential to understand the way Mastodon is structured. Web rings were basically like a sequence of websites where people would put a link to the website to the left and to the right of themselves within that web ring. And you could click through this entire web ring, and this entire web ring, they all interacted with each other and were essentially a way for different people to discover websites within a single topic. So, for example, if you had like a Sonic the Hedgehog web ring, you would go into the Sonic web ring, you would look at a website, and then you would have like a list of websites within that one website, and they all sort of interacted with each other. This is like, I'm talking like early aughts, like late 90s type web internet type stuff. And Mastodon kind of emulates that in a way, in that you're able to take certain instances and just completely like shut them out from your instance. So like, because Mastodon is open source software, anybody can make it, but also you can just not deal with those people. So it's not, it kind of gets a bad rap for that because of the way that it's inherently structured, but that's not the actual facts of what you're dealing with. If that makes sense. I'm not doing the best job describing it, but that's essentially how Mastodon works.
You mean
you
aren't Mastodon spokesperson?
No, I'm not.
You could have fooled me.
No. I'm on a Mastodon instance called Shrike.club. And if you wanted to follow me there, most Mastodon instances are able to interact with Shrike.club, except for the few that have been banned and all the ones that are on like the global Fedi ban list. And if you made your own Mastodon instance, which was like just you and two other people, or if you joined the Bane one, which I think is just Mastodon.social, you could follow me on Mastodon on the instance that I'm on. And effectively, the way it works is it acts like a giant, what is called a federated timeline, which is it takes all the different instances of Mastodon and just sort of mashes them into one, basically.
I have to tell you to stop. It is fascinating to me that they have built this, because it is literally a world wide web within a world wide web.
Yeah.
And that makes my head hurt. We are here to talk video games, though. So, I mean, I guess if you want to know more about Mastodon, Paul's got your back.
Yep. Shrike.club/@ Paul's rockin' Mastodon, because I spelled it wrong.
Excellent. And there's no going back from that, I imagine?
I don't think there is currently.
I'll fix it at some point, lean into it. It's yours now. Yeah. We're here to talk about Fable, though. Fable is here, everyone.
Hi.
Fable, who was last on...
I've been
on...
here the whole yes. time.
Yeah, that's true. You have. And you've learned so much about Mastodon.
I have learned more than I needed to know, even though I already have one of those.
Oh, do you?
Maybe
I gotta get on Mastodon. That's where all the kids are and Paul. Fable was last on in May. We discussed some AAPI culture things. We dug a little into TTRPGs and the interest to Fable Doom, and now Fable has a Fable Doom update. Please tell us what's going on with Fable Doom.
The Kickstarter got funded, we made the thing, and we just got the printed books. Those are in, and we're working on getting them in as many places as we can.
Amazing. Nice. Very good. Very good job. I mean, last we spoke, it was May, and it's nearly a whole year later, and here we are. Mm-hmm.
It's been a wild ride to get here.
I'm sure.
Because the only thing I was really really familiar with at the top of it was writing. I have an English degree, and so you know, I wrote the book, and I also had to learn about layout and do a lot of the art myself because of budgetary reasons. So I picked up a lot of skills on the way here.
I can imagine. I don't know what it's like to create any game. Anytime I sit down and I start to try and create something that is not just like the written word, I'm like, never mind. Who does this? People do this. People make things.
I do feel obligated to ask, since it's been a year, and I personally am actually not familiar with the project, and just to maybe give a refresher or reminder for anybody who doesn't remember, what is Fable Doom? You don't have to go super into details. I've talked about it before, but
So Fable Doom is an all ages friendly rules light TTRPG. It's genre and setting agnostic. So it can be basically played with any kind of story in any sort of place. And it levels characters' skills instead of the character themselves. And so effectively you can just keep growing the character forever.
Nice.
I wanted to create something that I'd basically just be able to play with friends forever, so I did.
It's very fluid, it sounds like. And having only played like D&D and Pathfinder through the other people I know who play Pathfinder, because mm-hmm. I've not played Pathfinder yet, this seems to have like the thing that most TTRPG players want, which is just a way of playing it, like, until, you know, the sun rises five times over.
I have been told that playing it is similar to playing D&D or playing Pathfinder. And so I know that it feels very similar, but it's supposed to have just a lower barrier to entry and be a bit easier to continue growing.
Very cool.
D&D and Pathfinder are rules heavy games, right? They're really crunchy. They've got a lot of mechanics, and people have made or are making a version of pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. And that can be really hard to do on your own or homebrew on your own. If you're not used to crunching all the numbers, or if you don't know all of the different status effects or everything like that, and if you're really worried about creating something that's balanced within your home game, Fable Doom is basically my response to that problem. Not wanting to keep on working really hard and balancing everything when I'm running games for my own party and just doing things in a bit more of an easy, intuitive way.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
This sounds great.
Yeah. Sounds like it's like you said, it's one of those just kind of pick up and go things. And I really appreciate pick up and go things. So, like, I know you said that you wanted a system where you could play with your friends kind of over and over and over again. But, like, it seems like this is the kind of thing that you don't make in a day, right? And to that credit, it took you a year since we last spoke to get it fully funded and then subsequently released. What really goes into making a big book like this, aside from the writing?
A lot of trial and error and a lot of listening to feedback from people. we have another guest.
Hey, thank you Taco, thank you for joining us on the podcast today. What are your thoughts on tabletop role playing, Taco, if I may ask?
I like to slap the pieces.
Ooh, interesting. I actually did hear Taco offers. Oh wow, really?
So much we're learning from.
Wow, actually interesting. That's honestly a perspective I had.
Precious fourth guest.
More of an expert than I am, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He watched me every day while I kept on working, and now he knows better than me.
Really wants to talk about it too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The sociopolitical implications of what he just said are frankly staggering, and I don't know how to address them. So I think we should move on while keeping him in mind.
Yes.
Right. So it's a lot of trial and error. It's a lot of continuing to let more people play it and give their thoughts on it. There's a lot of keeping in mind specific goals that you want the game to be able to do, right? And so I wanted something that was pretty easy to do. I wanted to be able to just do anything that my character wanted to do instead of having to have like specific you know, things that I could check off that are like, okay, I roll a d20 plus whatever, and if I'm proficient at it, then it's more, or if I'm not, then it's less. And I didn't want to have an entire giant checklist of things. I just wanted to have the things that my character was good at, and then kind of use those skills intersectionally, kind of like what we do in real life.
Yeah, right.
Like I said, I wanted the math to be minimal. I wanted to be able to play it forever. So it basically, so the way the system works in a nutshell is every time that you do something, you get experience points. The more of those you get, the more modifier levels you get, or the number that you add to your dice. And, you know, you reach certain thresholds and you just rank up to the next die or add more dice. And because it's done that way, you can just continue to add to things. And so if you want the story to end, you can end it. But if you want the story to just keep on going, like One Piece or JoJo, then you can just do that forever. Which is, again,
I love that, actually.
Completely my goal.
Yeah.
I intend on playing the same game with my home group until all of us are dead.
Amazing. What a goal. What a great goal. And you say Fable Doom is available everywhere?
Well, it's available everywhere digitally. So it's on itch.io, it's on DriveThruRPG, and of course it's on our own website at fabledoom.com. Right now we're working on getting the printed copies out to the Kickstarter backers, because I figured that they should have, you know, first dibs for everything.
Yeah.
We're working on getting it in with local stores, and after that I'm going to be working with different publishers and distributors to hopefully get it into more stores everywhere that I can. But in the meantime, and until that happens, I'll go ahead and make the physical book at least available from the website. So worst case scenario, it doesn't get into a local bookstore in your town, and you can just order it online, like everything else.
Right, exactly. Very good, very good. Well, we'll link a review to the TTRPG Fable Doom in our show notes. But for now, we're going to be right back, because when we come back, we'll be going over some news stories.
Woo!
New stories that you definitely should hear about, because they're freaking wackaloo. So, you know, stick around, stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more show.
This world is a peaceful one. Plains, mountains, swamps, pines, cicadas sing, rivers flow, magic thrums through the air, and all of it's surrounded by a single massive wall, as ancient as history itself. So, you know, not that ancient. Thanks to the loss, prehistoric ain't all that long ago. Oh well, life is good, and assuming you don't mind the looming threat of a mysterious skeletal society.
Side Character Quest, a D&D adventure, one player at a time.
Some worlds need a hero. This one? Might need a bit more than that.
Welcome back to the show. So, my eyes are itching again. We have some news stories. They are both interesting and incredibly sad, and one of them is a little funny. So we're going to dig right in. Let's just get into it. In case you didn't hear from mainstream news outlets, this week a batch of documents were leaked from the United States Pentagon and were shared on Discord. According to reports, the leak originated on Discord in a Minecraft server and was posted as early as March 4th before appearing on 4chan and Telegram channels. Likewise, reports state that the documents were shared in order to win an argument about the war in Ukraine, in which after arguing about some specifics, a Discord user decided to just share the documents to make his point. As of this recording, a few hours ago, we learned that the person responsible is a 21-year-old member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard. He has since been arrested and is in the custody of the FBI. I don't want to share his name because I don't think it's that important. But
the guys over at War Thunder just like breathing the deepest sigh of relief that it wasn't them for once.
Yeah. It's very interesting to me that there are two things happening simultaneously in the United States. One is like anytime there's been like multiple train derailments over the past couple of months.
Yeah.
And also there seems to be leak after leak after leak coming out of official like state military operations. All of them coming also through video games for some reason. As you said, War Thunder has been having leaks like crazy. And now we're getting them through a Minecraft server. Some interesting details that just came out with this story, releasing the identity of this guy, is that he is the, member of his own Discord called Thug Shaker Central. I hate that. And the group apparently shares a whole lot of racist online memes, guns, and of course, video games. So, you know, fun stuff.
What's interesting about this is apparently the guy in the military who shared these documents, among all the different stuff going on, was also anti-war.
Isn't it freaking strange? He's got a lot of things going on. I hope the FBI gets this man some help. Like,
oh,
help.
Yes.
Fable, any thoughts?
Not gonna lie. The first time I saw this, I just looked at the leak, the link that you have here in the show notes, and I read the link. And I just thought it was kind of hilarious.
It's a little funny.
It's a little funny.
I mean, obviously, the dude's not so great. The server, not so great. Leaked stuff in general, not great. But the way that it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, the circumstances are kind of hilarious. It's, like, relatively innocuous in a sense. It's just like some dude shared a few things with his friends on Discord, and then one of them fucking, I guess, leaked it to Russia. Like,
yeah. I mean, in trying to own your friend about, you know, Minecraft, or in a Minecraft server trying to leak, what am I trying to say? You're trying to own your friend in a Minecraft server.
Yeah.
And you're just gonna, oh, I got it. I know how to own this guy. Bam. Leaked documents. From my kitchen table. It really speaks to this very online presence that I think we all have, where I guess we're not really thinking about consequences, right? We're thinking much more about the moment that we're in and not like what comes after, especially when we're on the internet with these kind of pseudo personalities, these kind of fake online things that we have going on. Like, I have to wonder if the people in his Discord server knew him very intimately. And I think the answer is probably no. I've never leaked a document in my life. I got sent one NDA and I was like, hey, guess what, gang? I got sent a cool thing. You'll never know about it.
I've been under an NDA in some form or another since like 2018, and I've been pretty good about shutting the fuck up. It's not hard.
It really isn't. It's so easy to not say anything.
Yeah.
I speak into microphones all the time, and sometimes I don't say certain things.
I'm literally on a game news podcast, and I worked at Blizzard for over a year.
And there's and I still don't things think... I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, damn.
It's funny how that works. This little thing called self-control.
Why are you so bad at this, man? Hey, speaking of people that are bad at things, so there's some shit that's been going on with Resident Evil. Ever since Resident Evil 4's remake's release, the actress behind the voice of Ada... Actually, I'm going to stop this real quick because I want to back up a little bit. We didn't talk about what we played this week.
We didn't talk about what we played this week.
So I'm going to derail us and pull us back. I didn't, actually.
Oh, lame.
I've actually gotten super into Street Fighter V.
That's also a Capcom property.
But before we do that, hey, Fable. Hey, Fable. What you been playing this week?
Yeah, what have you been playing this week? I told
you. Okay, so this is kind of weird and interesting. And okay.
I'm ready for it.
This is gonna be good.
So, in the making of this game, and like after all the playtesting and everything is done, obviously I'm the like. I made this and I have a partner, Darian, who is the co-creator of Fable Doom. And for us to both like have enough time to work on it, we've put our home game on pause for like the last year. So I haven't been able to play for a while, until this past week when, a friend of mine got tired of the dry spell and threw together an entire game, a one shot. If I remember right, she titled it, Madame Mathania's Magica or Modern Magica, if I remember right.
Amazing. I love alliteration.
It was really fun. We basically played as a couple of high schoolers discovering that magic was real, and this evil wizard wanted to take over the world, and we had to stop him. Why it had to be us, I don't know, but that's how it worked out.
Yeah. That's how it usually works out, right? You discover magic, and then you also discover.
And then you have to just save
wizard.
The world because no one else is going to do it.
That's your magic, and you're going to use it for good.
No, I had fun. I played Piper, a character who was way cooler in high school than I ever was. And it was. Lovely, and it was honestly so great to play again after such a long time.
I love that kind of power that TTRPGs have. Paul, you said you've been playing a fight streeter.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter V this past week. So basically to get ready for the release of Street Fighter VI in a couple months. Is it next month now?
I think it's next month.
Street Fighter 5 or 6 come out?
Street Fighter
6 comes out June 2nd.
Ah.
So just under 2 months.
Yes.
So to prep for the release of Street Fighter 6 and to sort of jump on the bandwagon that I've been meaning to jump on for a while now anyway, people in the fighting game server that I frequently talk about in here have started playing, well, which is a game server, but we do fighting games a lot in there. We've all started playing Street Fighter 5 sort of at the same time, and Richard made two recommendations for me for characters I should play, Balrog and E. Honda. Both of which are charge characters. I'm a charge character main now, apparently. It's just what I do, because charge player characters also have this weird tendency to be aggro in a lot of fighting games. Not always. Yeah. They're not always aggro. Guile is not the most aggro character in the world. Or Guile. But there is also... but typically, they tend to be more aggressive, which is interesting. And so I ended up picking up E. Honda. E. Honda has his headbutt. He's got the hands, which are super oppressive. And it's got a fun input on it. Oh, you know what? I actually do remember, because I talked about a couple weeks ago when I was on the podcast, the controller I got for Street Fighter VI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we've been getting into that properly now. And the Sega Saturn controller that I got actually fucking rules. I was completely right about using it as a Street Fighter controller, and so I've just been playing a lot of E. Honda, slapping people with hands, It's been a good time.
Hand slaps is the way to go.
Also, still, I started working on Blaze Blue again. Still an Azrael main there, and I've just been kind of trying to learn more combos. I learned a fun combo last night that uses all of your resources, but also does 3/4 of the enemy's health bar.
Oh.
Nice.
Azrael's a fun character.
Yeah, and definitely your style.
Uh-huh. I play very aggressive, rush down, has a bunch of buttons that are plus as fuck. Has
some kind of crazy man.
Has crazy fucked up mix-ups, has just knowledge checks coming out the ass.
All of Paul's... Paul and I actually play similar characters, except the only similarity is that it's a big guy.
Yeah.
It's just a tall man.
Don't you tend to play grapplers?
I sometimes do tend to play grapplers.
You're kind of like a Geef Potemkin kind of guy, right?
But like a Naga Ryuki also speaks to
me. Ah, yeah, true.
Naga big slashy also. Man.
You just like to play very large characters.
Large? My characters, I like large boys, what can I say?
My characters don't strictly need to be large, they just need to be... I play Paul Phoenix in Tekken, like what more do you want from me?
I mean, he's pretty big.
He is big, but he's also incredibly aggressive and very simple, which is my style.
Very terrible haircut in the next game.
I love his haircut. I feel bad.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, as long as you like it.
Listen, he also looks happier than he's looked in any fight.
That's
any
true. He is like two. He is very happy to be Paul Phoenix bad haircut. So yes. I'm proud of him.
Which
growth. Tekken 8 growth. Well, since the last episode of this show, I also played my usual TTRPGs. Tuesday and Wednesday, I play on stream for all of you. And myself. We got to introduce a new character on Wednesday. My new character, because my DM killed my old one.
Oh, really?
It's okay. He died heroically, and it was fantastic, and everyone cried.
All right.
And then since then, we actually it was just a really fun time. This week, though, I've been playing mostly Stardew Valley. I have had a need for something kind of soft, and I was looking for something that was not Stardew Valley, but I spent more time looking for something to play than I was just, like, not playing Stardew Valley. So I said, you know what? We're just going to start a new save and do Stardew Valley. This time I'm romancing Sam, the stupid blonde boy. So I'm very excited to see what that's going to be like. So far, my favorite playthrough has been actually Harvey. Harvey's so cute. That's all I got. Harvey's so cute.
We love Harvey.
He's a doctor. You know what that means. Yep, exactly. Silence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Paul, read this resume.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of the first half of our show.
This is usually where we would take a break.
Ever since Resident Evil 4 Remake's release, the actress behind the voice of Ada Wong, Lily Gao, has been faced with harassment from so-called fans of the series and character, which caused Gao to leave social media. As of this week, Gao has returned to Instagram, posting that she feels proud of the Ada she represents, and says that it is time we stop only capitalizing on the sexualized, eroticized, and mysterious Asian woman, and make space to honor every kind of Asian woman. My Ada is my survivor. Now, I haven't played 4 Remake, or honestly the original 4 either, I apologize, but I don't know what they, so I don't know what they changed, and I don't really know what the complaints are.
Sure. So, I can't really address the complaints myself, because I can guess what they are, you know, but I can't see myself going to look for those comments. So,
yeah.
I will say that from my point of view, they made Ada a lot less, well, a lot more direct, I would say, than in previous games. She was much more kind of in the shadows. She does the same thing in this one where she kind of just shows up out of nowhere and everyone's like, where did you come from? I just beat up a whole bunch of people. You were not in that hallway 2 minutes ago.
Yeah, like, died in the last one. What's going on?
Where were you hiding? And so she still has that kind of air of mysteriousness, but she is so much more in Leon's face all the time in this one. The other thing is that her manner of delivery, I guess, has changed. and the way that she speaks in this role, right? Lily Gao has a very kind of hello, Leon, kind of soft but like sharp kind of delivery where it's like, I'm bored with you. Like, go away, Leon. I hate you. And to me, that is much better. I love that. But I think a lot of fanboys preferred this kind of sensual delivery of Ada that you got in the original Resident Evil 4.
So it's different, slightly less sexualized, and people are racist, so they hate it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. the other thing is that Lily Gao is actually the first, I believe, the first person to do the English voice for Ada as an Asian American, or an Asian person at least.
I believe that.
And people are like not respecting that. You know what I mean? It comes off very misogynistic. And to that point, there are a lot of complaints about Ashley's outfit going from a skirt to like a shorts situation, and complaining that Jack Krauser's voice isn't as deep or maybe kind of as rugged as the original, which again is just kind of like a stupid man thing to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it feels very, this isn't the manly game that I played in 2009. This is for the woke people or something stupid like that. So, there's been a lot of those comments being made even before the game was released. So, it's unsurprising, but unfortunate that Lily Gao has had to feel this way.
They made the story a little more grounded, and it made some chuds mad. That sounds par for the course.
Yeah. Fable, any thoughts?
Just that it's not the first or last time that it's gonna happen. I mean, just a bit before this, right? We had The Last of Us do their remake, and everyone was up in arms about Tess not being as hot, and it's like, she's supposed to be in what, like her 40s, 50s? Like, chill out.
Right. Yeah. It's
what
it's
do you want? She's a middle-aged woman in the apocalypse. Like,
right. It's really hard, I think. I think about I try out for voice acting roles all the time in my spare time. Just because I want to be one of those cool people. And it is hard to not think about, oh God, how would this be received if chosen? Do people think that I sound as though I am portraying this character correctly? Or are they going to pick up on some quality of my voice or my reading that I didn't know was there and base it off of, you know, my sexuality or my skin color or anything else regarding my identity and not have a valid criticism, you know? Like, even Lily Gao says that, like, sure, you can criticize my work. That's fine. That's to be expected. Yeah. But, like, the racist and sexist harassment just for simply being this character, that's not okay. And it's not something you always think about going into these things, but it's nevertheless, like, on the back of people's minds now.
Yeah, it's a trend that's been ongoing since the first place I can remember seeing it was the Ghostbusters movie, where people got real weird about that.
Sure.
I didn't watch it. I don't really have any opinions on it. I bet it was probably funnier than some people thought online. But, like, I don't know. There has been a... It's funny, because it started off that there was a backlash against a remake, but the main cast is women, which is already a really weird thing to be upset about.
Sure.
But it feels like this has morphed even further into literally anybody who is not a white man existing in a space is considered woke now, which is... I don't have anything constructive to say about that. There's nothing here. There's nothing good here.
Here's the thing, right? This has happened a lot. It's going to continue to happen. And a lot of times it comes down to just filtering it out and aiming at the audience that will actually appreciate your work. Like, if we want to go back even further, let's look at Hamilton. Like the entire cast is people of color.
Mm.
And that's amazing and mm-hmm. fantastic. And me being an Asian American, I thought, like, wow, that's really cool. And you know, there are other people who were like up in arms that not everyone on stage was white.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, at least what I see is that the people who have those kinds of complaints don't actually have anything of value to bring in into play when talking about actual critique of the art. And so a lot of times my own policy is, okay, this person's opinion is trash. I'm going to ignore that and keep going. The actress here, I think that Lily Gao, honestly, props to her for coming back and yeah. getting onto Instagram and knowing what she's going into and doing it anyway. And it looks like she's doing it with her head held high. I think that's great.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, the biggest parallel I can draw to this is with the backlash to Star Wars Episode 8 with Kelly Marie Tran.
Mm.
And just mm-hmm. people just being really pissed off at her for some reason for being in a movie that they didn't like.
Yeah. yes.
That was the whole thing. It was like people thought that there were people who thought that Episode 8 wasn't good. They're wrong. And the people who thought that Episode 8 wasn't good was in part because of Kelly Marie Tran existing in that movie. They're wrong about the thing that they're wrong about. And just, there's... I'm angry.
Yeah.
I mean,
there are aliens in this, and you're going to be upset about that?
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Hey, I have some good news.
What's okay, that? Let's hear it.
Just now on Twitter, as of about 4 minutes ago, Matthew Mercer has been given permission from Nintendo to announce that he is reprising his role from the web series There Will Be Brawl and is going to be playing Ganondorf in The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Yes.
Nice.
I think that is some good news.
Yeah.
We did get a really nice look at Tears of the Kingdom today in a very awesome and packed trailer. So that game is going to be fun, and Matt Mercer is going to be in it.
Yeah, I think everybody clocked in pretty quickly. Personally, I wasn't sure if it was Matt Mercer or Patrick Seitz. I was pretty sure it was Matt Mercer, but I was like flipping a coin, kind of. I get those two mixed up all the time. And who else do I get mixed up? There's like a trio of three voice actors that I think always sound very similar, and I get them mixed up. But Matt Mercer, Ganondorf, cool news.
Matt Mercer, continuing the trend of voicing hot men.
True.
He's the voice of Josuke in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Josuke? No, I think it's Jotaro.
And he's our boy Cassidy Overwatch, don't forget.
Yes, Cassidy Overwatch.
Who is a man.
Matt Mercer gets all the cool stuff. I want to be just like him when I grow up. So, that all out of the way, it's time to do This Week in Gaming History, where we take substantial releases and events and we do a little chit-chat around them. Let's jump right in to April 9th, Super Paper Mario released for the Wii 16 years ago,
Christ.
2007. Jerry Lawson, the lead engineer for creating the first ever video game cartridge, passed away in 2011. He would have been 82 if alive today. Today is his day of passing.
Hmm.
Jerry Lawson was a wonderful guy. It's amazing that he got... I'm honestly kind of surprised that his legacy got highlighted so much, like, recently. Like, not too long after he passed, a lot of people talked about how he's kind of credited with the modern home consoles tech, basically, the reason home consoles were able to become what they were. It's amazing.
It's a lot of history that a lot of folks didn't even know about until recently. So I'm happy to uplift him yet again.
Absolutely.
April 10th is kind of a weird day. Mostly a very heavy release for Japan with the Mario Kart Wii and King of Fighters 12. But mm-hmm. also in very recent history, the Final Fantasy VII Remake releases this day in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Man, VII Remake is such an interesting game. It's... I don't think it's necessarily what people wanted per se, mm-hmm. but I think it's what we needed.
Oh yeah.
I liked how focused it was. Yeah. I think some people were upset there were I had a couple of issues where a couple of sections of the game dragged on a bit too long, but I appreciated it for what it was. The Midgar section of the game getting just such a lavish treatment was so wonderful. I think I'm looking forward to where the remake series goes from here, but the original VII Remake was just so good.
Mm-hmm. I still
have not remake, played. When is Rebirth supposed to come out now?
I've still not played either of these.
Really?
No, I've never played the original, and I've never played the remake. And I'm still just like, I don't know what I'm waiting for, really.
Oh, right. Rebirth's supposed to come out this winter.
Oh, fantastic. We're getting there. We're almost there.
Yeah.
Let's see. April 11th, the Super Nintendo finally reaches Europe. 31 years ago today in 1992. It also comes with the Super Mario World video game on the same day. And also, today is the 17th birthday of Tomb Raider Legend.
Woo! Console releases back then were super weird because back in the 90s, consoles launched with like 6 games.
Yeah.
What were the launch titles for the Super Nintendo?
But there was no internet back then for people to say Super Nintendo ain't got no games.
There were 5 games on launch for the Super Nintendo.
That's so par for the course for any console today. And then you get on Twitter for 2 seconds and there's the Xbox, Sony, PlayStation wars about ain't got no games.
Super Nintendo had Super Mario World, F-Zero, SimCity, Gradius 3, and fucking Pilot Wings.
Pilot Wings is so cool. I think that's a really cool game. April 12th. Really, again, a day for more recent history. Mm-hmm. Dark Souls 3, released 7 years ago now, 2016. Likewise, the Ratchet & Clank kind of reboot-ish thing releases for the PS4 after no new releases since 2013. So 3 years later... You got Ratchet and Clank all over again. Ratchet and Clank has a lot of like sequels though.
Whoops.
Tons and tons and tons of them. Fable, anything on these? Anything to note? Anything we're missing?
I don't really remember very much about Ratchet and Clank, but Dark Souls 3 rules. I think it's my favorite game in the series.
I am. So Dark Souls 3 is actually on my list, but I haven't played through the other Dark Souls stuff first. I'm kind of a newer player to Dark Souls stuff. My friends roped me into the From Software stuff. So I haven't finished Dark Souls. I made the grave error of trying to play through Bloodborne and Elden Ring at kind of the same time. Oh. And so then I kind of got stuck in both.
I see.
Yep.
So at this point, I kind of play a bit of one and then, you know, come back and play a bit of the other. And every eventually time. I'll chew my way through all of the From Software stuff. Yeah. That's the plan.
If I had to make a recommendation, I would at least play through Dark Souls 1 before you play Dark Souls 3. I don't think it's necessary. I think Dark Souls 3 is fine as a standalone game, but you will get more enjoyment out of it if you at least play Dark Souls 1. Dark Souls 2,
I already have.
Take your leave. Oh, sick. Okay,
I already have Dark Souls 1, so like I was planning on playing them in order.
Okay, good.
There you go. Every time I pick up a FromSoft game, I put it back down. I just can't do it. I'm so bad at them.
Not for everybody. And that is totally okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm baby. April 13th, one of my favorite games, Chrysalis, releases for the first time in Japan before making its way to the United States. I believe 1990. And The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past, was released in 1992, now 31 years ago.
Woo! So wait, Legacy. So that means that A Link to the Past came out 2 days after the Super Nintendo came out in the West.
That's interesting.
Oh, in Europe, rather. Oh, wait, that was in Europe. Okay, never mind. So, yeah, Super Nintendo finally reaches Europe 31 years ago.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
so I misheard and misread the note. So I don't know what actually launched with the Super Nintendo in Europe, but it looks like A Link to the Past came out a couple days later.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And they did not have it, or they did. I don't know.
It's also the Homestuck Day.
Happy Homestuck Day.
We did it.
Wow, Homestuck Day. Is that why you're doing the thing?
Yeah, we before we started this episode and right when we were kicking off, we were premiering a new episode of Let's Read Homestuck. So that wrapped up near the beginning of this episode. And now you can go watch it on YouTube if you want.
The amount of people I've met who worked on Homestuck, but I still have no basis for Homestuck. Like, I've never interacted with that at all. But then the amount of people who are like, you know this guy from Homestuck? Yeah. What? Is it that big? Yeah, of course it is. Okay.
Neil banging out the Tunes Day.
Whatever that is.
That's the most important one. All right, moving on. April 14th, big day for releases. We got Metal Slug X or Metal Slug 10? Metal Slug X for the PlayStation in 2001 and Golden Sun The Lost Age in 2003. Golden Sun is one of those games that I've always meant to play and just fucking haven't.
It's a great, great, great RPG. And the sequel really, The Lost Age, does make it all come together in one nice, tightly knit little thing.
It picks up exactly where the last one left off. Like, you can put in a code and get all your characters and everything, right?
Yep. It's That's very, very actually. Good. I dig it a whole lot. April 15th, the birthday of Tadashi Sugiyama, known well for working on Nintendo games, specifically creating the characters Popo and Nana from Ice Climbers.
He also directed melee players lives
everywhere. He also directed Pilot Wings, SimCity, and the Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo. Big resume. If you've ever worked at Nintendo, I just assume that, like, you've done something really cool. So, congrats, Nintendo workers, for working on real cool stuff.
Apparently, he was one of the main designers for a bunch of the experimentation they did with the Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color connectivity stuff. A lot of stuff never saw the light of day, but they were doing a lot of experimentation with what could be done between the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance. Which is just... It might have been in the leaks, actually, now that I think about it. That big repro leak from forever ago. There was like a big Giga leak that people were leaking stuff out for like months, just random stuff. One big thing from that leak, if anybody's not familiar, we got high quality recordings of all the Star Fox 64 voice acting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's actually crazy to listen to. It's so surreal just hearing like studio quality Nintendo 64 recorded voice lines.
Man. Re-release that.
Right?
I would love that.
The funny thing is, they redubbed the whole game for Star Fox 64 3D, and I don't really know why, because, like, they had all the audio. They could have just...
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's a little weird. Fable, any last thoughts?
Not really. I haven't played a lot of the older stuff, so...
I think a lot of these games that we spoke about here are definitely worth it. I love Super Mario World. I that's one of those games like Resident Evil 2 original or something that I play because I'm feeling like a nostalgia pang real bad and I need to play that game. Or Chrysalis 2. I grew up playing that with my mom and my brother in our like two bedroom little rinky dink in the Bronx. Golden Sun I will always recommend until the day I die. It's just real good. Pick up some older games. That's my recommendation for the part we're about to go into. As we move along toward the end of the show, we always ask that you give our listeners a recommendation. Which game should they be playing or be on the lookout for, Fable?
You mean besides the one that I made?
Yes. I mean, obviously they should look out for Fable Doom, the TTRPG, but you know, you got any others? Any others?
Yeah, actually. So besides my own game, there are always a couple of games that I think that people should look into. I'd say my go-to Well, you know what, actually, I was thinking about doing my normal one, but I think for this show, I would actually recommend Our Traveling Home by Ash Kreider. For anyone who doesn't know, actually, you know what? I'm just going to read the first sentence on the back of the book. Our Traveling Home is a game about queer romance, found family, and finding healing through belonging, as inspired by the works of Studio Ghibli and particularly Howl's Moving Castle.
Very good. I actually just Googled this, and the Kickstarter picture is of, like, all brown people.
Yes, it is.
That makes me incredibly happy.
I love it. It is one of the most wholesome TTRPGs that I have ever played.
Yeah, I agree. Go, I will play it, but like, I don't even need to. This just looks great.
I haven't played a ton of retro games, but I have like over 500 something TTRPGs. I'm a nerd.
Precious. We love it. Beautiful. Yeah, go check out Our Traveling Home. This looks real cool. Yeah. Paul, what do you got?
You know what? I'm going to recommend Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy VI Origin. I just bought that game the other day, and it is an action RPG, kind of in the vein of Dark Souls. The story is questionable. The acting isn't great. The gameplay is kind of sus. And overall, I think the package maybe needs a lot of work in general, and I don't think it's a good video game. I think you should absolutely play it, though, especially if you like Final Fantasy. despite the fact that I think the game has a lot of flaws and generally just isn't a very quality-made product, it is a earnestly made product. There is something so honest about Stranger of Paradise. To be clear, I haven't gotten very far in the game yet. I'm like an hour or two in, and I can already just kind of see where this whole thing is going. There's something about it that's so beautiful. It's just, I get the feeling that maybe it was just put together by a team at Squeenix who was kind of just doing their own thing in the most beautiful way possible, and I'm glad this game exists, and I want to hold it and study it like
I still
a fucking
haven't
germ.
Played it myself, but I've seen plenty of trailers and plenty of screenshots and videos of it, and it always strikes me as like the self-insert middle school thing that you make, but like it's real now.
Like, it's so funny how the game starts. The game starts with this dark-ass cutscene of like just a dude murdering a bunch of dudes while kidnapping somebody. And then the next cutscene you see is your character talking to two other characters who have already an established background. They don't explain anything about these characters. You just understand that they are here. They have crystals. They are here to kill chaos. They don't explain shit to you. It's so fucking funny.
Like, I'm wondering if they are expecting you to have played the first game to then be like,
I don't think it would have helped.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
I
I'm
played
wondering
most of Final Fantasy One. It didn't help.
Okay, I obviously don't know because Jack Final Fantasy Stranger of Paradise is one character that I am like, you exist and that's all I need to know.
Like, the only thing I know for sure is that Jack Garland somehow by the end of the game becomes Chaos, the final boss of Final Fantasy One. I don't know how, I don't know why. He's there to kill Chaos, why does he become Chaos? But this game is just... I'm excited to dig further into it, and I suggest you do as well.
Okay.
Dear listener. Right.
Okay. You heard him, folks. Go check out your friend Jack. He's in trouble.
And he needs to kill Chaos. This is a Chaos check-in.
As I said, go play like an old game. Just pick up an oldie. Super Paper Mario is now 16 years old. That's old. Super Mario World, 31 years old. I'm almost that old. Go play that. Golden Sun, 2003. Go play, honestly, play Golden Sun. It is top tier RPG from top to bottom. Just very good all the way through. I don't know about the Nintendo DS Golden Sun game. I've never played that one, But Golden Sun and Golden Sun The Lost Age are very, very, very good games. And I implore you to give them a try. And finally, of course, Fable, to finish off this episode, please let us know where we can find you on the internet and if you have anything else to plug.
So you can find me at Fable_RA in most places. And of course, if you want to know more about Fable Doom, just visit FableDoom.com. Oh, and since we talked about Mastodon, at Fable, at Dice.camp.
Amazing. That's how Mastodon works too. You could just make up some stuff.
It's weird. All right. It's freaking weird.
Was it dice.camp /@fable?
Dice.camp. Yeah. And username is fable.
That's okay. Incredible. I got to get in on whatever
dice.camp /@fable. If you have a, Mastodon account on any instance that is not blocked by, that doesn't have dice.camp block, presumably not, because I assume your instance is in good standing, then I should be able to, then anybody should be able to follow them from their account. There.
Super. Paul, where are we finding internet you?
Sure. So, I am still on Twitter. I've kind of been slowly getting back into it, at least until I wait and see if this website collapses. But you can find me at Paul's Rock and Twit and at Paul's Work and Twit for more work-related stuff. In addition, you can find me over at Mastodon. That'll be shrike.club/@Paul's Rock and Mastodon, because I spelled it incorrectly. M-A-S-T-A-D-O-N. Can't fix it. It's fine. You can also find me over on Twitch for the rare moments when I stream at twitch.tv/bonzi77.
Super and also duper. As always, you can find me at Comedy Jace Gaming on Twitter and on the Weekly Cooldown Twitter as well, at WK Cooldown. Don't got a Mastodon though, so you can't find me there yet. Be sure to visit the Weekly Cooldown Facebook page. Visit WKCooldown.com for more news and other episodes. Be sure to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps the show grow. See, it rhymes, so you have to do it.
Hey!
Be sure to check out the links in the description, including, of course, our Humble Bundle for this week. And remember that you can support your favorite charities and support this show. Our logo and art is done by Corgian. Follow Corgian on Twitter and help them out. There was a lot of flooding in Florida where Corgian lives, and they need help. Doghouse Corgian on Twitter, DoghouseCorgian. Our intro music is done by Riki. Find Riki on Twitter at dog_noise, DOG_NOISE.
Oh, and actually, before you continue, one last thing. I'm sorry to say this. Doghouse Corgian actually just had a very unfortunate tragedy happen in their life recently. They had a big flood at their house. Yeah. So I do want to specifically shout out, I don't know if we can necessarily put a link in the show notes or something, but Doghouse Corgian is actually currently having a GoFundMe. So if you can, we can either get it in the notes or you can find it on Corgian's Twitter at Doghouse Corgian. They are currently raising money to try and recover from this flood because their house has been completely wrecked. They're renting, so thankfully they're not like having to pay to fix the house or anything, but they probably lost a bunch of stuff in the process. So if you can help them out, friend of the show, they've done a lot of really good stuff for the video game community at large, and especially the fighting game community. Please help them out. It would mean the world to me personally. They are just such a fantastic person. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for saying all that, because I was thinking about how much I should go into and I wasn't sure. But yes, help out Doghouse Corgian. They are a big friend, massive friend. That's all for the Weekly Cooldown. I'm Commie Jays.
I'm Paul. Happy Homestuck Day, Henderson.
I'm Fable.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.